Before I continue to play, I want to read a couple of pieces of mine. I've gotten a chance to do that as a series of pieces that I've written that are sort of autobiographical that deal with some of the important people in my life that have passed on. Ones that I've read in public before have been the ones about Arthur Brown in this sequence and also O'Hara Spearman. And today I want to read two other short pieces. The first one is to Lemmy Bailey. It's about my life with, you know, and Lemmy Bailey, a person that I moved when, that I became, you know, best friends when I moved on my block when I was 6 years old. I recently was put in contact with some of the people that I grew up with on that block that I play hide and seek with. One woman, Yvonne Pleasant, lives right around the corner from here now, and there's some other people in the audience that I've known from the time of kindergarten that are here in this room tonight, and some new friends. But after all, it is people. I grew up right here in the middle of St. Louis. The thing that in this poem for me was that Lemmy idolized his father, for better or for worse. And there were several reasons I finally figured out as an adult that he really did love me. You know, you doubt people's love at times. But one of the things I finally figured out that I knew he loved me because he called me by the same nickname as he did his father. You know, he called his father Chubb, and he called me Chubb, too. So I knew that just by the mere fact that he would give me the same nickname as his father, that he loved me. They called him Bubba, by the way. Instead of Lemmy Jr., he was Bubba. Bubba, 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 his mama say. You better get out there and feed them hounds before Lemmy get home from work. Hey, Chubb, look it. My gun is longer than yours and heavier, too. Let's shoot them in my yard. My daddy's good looking in his Hart, Schaefer, and Marks, Stacy Adams, and Stetson. His 88 O's, baby blue. Children vamping values. Lemmy Jr., senior. Son, safe, basking in his father's shadow. Lily May, Lily Ree, Billy Ruth, Diane, Doris, Donnie, Renee, Cousin Julie May, Uncle O.K. The Baileys, Lion's Pride, drawn up hot out of Mississippi into meatpacking, steel, and automaking St. Louis. Chuh, listen, you know I love you, but I can't. I won't. I just don't trust nobody around my May girl. This other one that I want to read is the one I wrote for David Hines. And a lot of people in this room knew David Hines. And one of the most significant things in this describes is how when I was a young child, I was in a band with his with a gentleman who's David and the older guys had a band, and this boy's brother was in it. Then I was in a band with his younger brother. David was a little older than me. And so I was in the same house as David, you know, through these musical connections. And in a sense, he was at the piano one day, and I had my horn out, and he got me to start to improvise. And it was I knew that people did this, but it was a new concept for me that I could do it. And so I wanted to That's in the poem, and that's one of the main things that it's about. And other people who know David really well will recognize some other things. But David. David. David Hines made the music pay. They paid a young boy. Paid him to play piano in church, at teas and socials. Man-child didn't have to sell papers, shine shoes, didn't have to cut grass. Man-child didn't have to kiss ass for money. D. Hines made the music pay. David said, the girls are something to hire fine. They walk and they talk. They dance and they prance, but they always go for the trumpet player. Well, then, I go for the trumpet, Yeah. Sing like Rafael Mendez. Bravo. Scat like Miles. Well, all right. Trill like Lee Morgan. Get it, D? D. Hines made the music pay. Got paid in the Continentals. Teenage band making money. Played jazz, rhythm and blues, standards out there on King's Highway, in East St. Louis, opposite Oliver Sane. The Woody Woodpecker theme transformed into blues in the night. Now come on, J.D. Play a little tenor in grade school. Play something while I whisper melody in your ear, while I pour feeling in your heart. Play something while I pump rhythm in your soul. If I have to plant my foot in your ass, play something. Play what you hear, what you feel. Play what you hear, what you know. Just play, Jazz Messenger. Start calling on Wednesday if you want to work the weekend.
For Malik, in his last days, Malik lays on the hospital bed, unconscious, hooked to machines monitoring every bodily function, comatose, breathing heavily, responsive only to pinpricks, not to words. We talk to him. Maybe he hears. We tell him those things we don't normally. How much we love him. How he is us. We remember his vitality, his joy in living, the beautiful music of his soul, and gleaming saxophone and eyes. I don't want to remember him this way. Bloated, near naked, splotched with sores. I remember how he said my name and the lift it always gave. Brother Malik, if I could lift you now out of this limbo, out of this bed, out of this room and its white gloom, I would. I would lift you like the notes of a golden horn, blown by the purest of breaths.
Malik.
That piece and our performance is dedicated to Maurice Malik King, who died on April 22nd. Was a great loss to this arts community, a great friend to many of us, played at Duff's many times, and will always be with us. This piece is called Blew It. Through the tobacco haze and the clatter of cocktails, through the stench of spilled beer and the lurching boilermakers, out of the darkness of the pit where the vipers of the night entwine, he gave language to the black rose. Yeah. They said he gave language to the emptiness they shared. He gave them prayer and they said, yeah. He screeched from the ache in his balls, intricate and instinctive as a spider, his belly-blown lines spun a symmetry spanning the void. Flies buzzed quizzically round his notes on their way to the silent gods. And the chorus echoed, yeah, as he quenched their summer thirst. He was troubled by their trouble, for he took it on, sucked it into the bell of his horn, into his gut where it gnawed, and got reborn. Made it part of his own storm. And he reigned. He reigned like a dark cloud. He reigned regal as a pharaoh, clean as a queen. Oh, he fluttered like a monarch, like Chuang Tzu, like a caterpillar waking up and finding out he can fly. And no one wondered why. They just let him die. They just said, yeah, and let him die. For he gave language to the black rose, and down, down in the dankness where its root grows, the cyclopean train shrieked in the tunnel of the soul. 1,000 toilets flushed and the excrement of the city rushed and gargled through the labyrinthine network of subway pipes. A murderous Shakti current injected the third rail eye with a lobotomous blindness. He straddled. sinking his feet in the low, slow quicksand. They said, yeah. And they lashed him to the tracks. Oh, he had to hear that iron siren song. When it came hurtling and wailing out of the darkness, he had to sing along. Had to embrace that Golgothan face. For it was late and he was headed home. He'd had too much to drink and he couldn't think. He just blew what he knew to be true. Giving language to the black rose, raining all over it so it grows. And no one wondered why. They just said, yeah, and let him fly. Thank you. Thank you all for being here. Hope you're enjoying yourself. The next piece is called If Not You, Who? You who are abandoned, you who have disappeared, you who exist only in the resurrected photographs, in the statues of memory, the fluttering beats of lonely hearts. You who have vanished into your own drab cells, the warehouses of clipboards, the pinstripe prisons. You whose final gestures have become icons, whose words expand like projective verse. You who are swallowed by a jungle declared irretrievable, missing in action, done and gone. You who are the final term in the equation of emptiness that longs for a proof. You who are erased from the blackboard of space. You who sit calmly between whirling electrons or who break down like a sugar cube in a cup of coffee. You who sparkle in a child's eye or droop in a teardrop. You who these words surround, close in on. You who in your absence are more than a presence. You who are vacant, obscure, wary, weary, who enact rituals in the morning mirrors of imagination. You who go about your life even in death, or your death oddly in life. You who are lost, who we cannot lose. You who lose so we cannot win. You who are despised. You who are idolized, you who linger mysteriously in the air with your inimitable music, you who we cannot grasp, you who come home to our embrace, you who span the poem's breath, who breathe the poem's breath, you who we don't know, yet know, with every inhalation and exhalation, we desire, yes, we write for you, whose name is. dream priestess, sitting and waiting for me at your loom. The murmuring waves of your song buoy my spirit boat. How many times has it been since I nibbled the lotus at your feet, grazed and rutted in your shade, lashed myself to a mast on a heaving deck so I could hear your unbearable song unwind your unspeakable name. And then, upon awakening, forgot it. Your glance fading across blue thresholds. Which heaven am I in now? Or can it be heaven at all when it exists without you? I think I am in the heaven of one of the blue spaces between breaths after the in or exhale. A place where you have been. I sense your presence in your absence. In this emptiness, there is more than meets the eye. There is I and more. There is a door through which light streams. Since I am actually ascending your goddessy shadowhood. Head first, out of the womb, ruddy and clenched, beached, your fading murmur in my seashell ears, opening eyes. The world is light, shapes, weeping, relief, beginning. Feeding on you, I feel such warmth. A tree rooted in earth, drinking deep but undercut and undermined by fear, disconnection, heaving your mighty breasts, transforming them to plastic, to rubber nipples. A formula, you call it. Fear. A basic condition attached to love. Eros drew the great sky down, down to Gaia, Mother Earth. Eros sparkled all around Gaia as she absorbed the waves of light. The great sky, enwrapped by Eros, wrapped himself round Gaia, round Earth, became her space. Puffed and floated clouds over her shadow. Proclaim thunder. Flashed lightning glances that ignited her. Rained and ran down her valleys. Eros, the great mystery, love, filled their nights with dazzling tales of countless stars. But Eros, loveliest of gods, also drove great Sky to bury his own children, Gaia's children, made great Sky jealous because Gaia loved them. Was it Eros made dark Gaia desperately seek her children and find them and scheme with them? It was love that great Sky wanted. All Gaia's love. Eros drew him down. Love made Gaia put a jagged sickle in the sun Zeus's hands, murmuring in his ear. Eros drew the great Sky down. Love raised the boy's weapon against his father. Love for Gaia erected him, inspired him with courage. Love slashed and castrated. Love tossed the father's balls bleeding into the wind blown by Eros. Love stuff spattered Gaia, shapely earth, giving rise to the curses, to wild-eyed titans, to endless strife. As the great Sky thundered, the severed testes, streaming like comets, fell into the sea of Eros, and swam in its open currents, and would not die. Inside the genital flesh, the love foam blossomed, unfolding into a pink flower. And the pink flower blossomed into a female form, washed ashore at Cyprus, and burst from her eggy sack of woe in the sunny beach. Whoa, 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 man. This radiant being was Aphrodite. Her beauty shook the mind like the numbing surf. And the glittering droplets glittered as they fell from her curvature in the morning light. And because she was born of her father's severed balls, she longed for the love bone. Grass grew under her feet. Eros was with her. And her sunny shadow was desire. Thanks. Well, we just celebrated Mother's Day yesterday. I'm going to read a few more family poems. This one is written for my mother called Ma. When I came to you, I was but a seed, woven out of mystery, fashioned out of need. You fed me with your body and you fed me with your mind. You were always there for me. You were always kind. And no one but you would do. And I knew. When I came to you, everything was dark. You opened up my eyes and you showed me how to walk. You showered me with kisses and you bathed me with your tears. You ran your hands all over me and washed away my fears. And no one but you would do, and I knew. When I came to you, I had never seen the light. I had only known the darkness. I had only known the night. You smiled the changing moon and stars, then lifted up the sun. You showed me multiplicity, and then you showed me one. And no one but you would do, and I knew. When I came to you, you opened up your door. You gave me all your riches, and you offered me more. You gave me a map, and you gave me a key. You held me so close to you, and then you set me free. And no one but you would do, and I knew. Okay, my heritage is Hispanic and Jewish, which in fact is a unique branch of Jewry called the Sephardim, or the Sephardic Jews. And I'm in the middle of writing a series of, a collection of poems called Safarad that evokes some of that heritage. I'm going to read a part of one of those poems. The Sephardic Jews are Jews who are rooted in Spain, but who go back to biblical times in Spain. They're mentioned in the book of Obadiah in the Bible, the exiles of Jerusalem who are in Safarad. And they were required to leave Spain or convert at various times, especially the what's known as the Inquisition, which really was on and off for about four centuries, from the 12th to the 15th century, culminating in the Edict of 1492. And then they radiated to communities throughout Europe and North Africa and the Middle East, and they always kept their language, a mongrelized form of Spanish, in those communities for literally hundreds of years. So this piece is for one of the great Sephardim, Maimonides, and it's called Guide to the Perplexed, and I'm just going to read a short segment of it. Guide to the Perplexed, of course, is one of Maimonides' great philosophical works. Moses ben Maimon, Moses the Spaniard, Moses the Jew, Maimonides, Moses ben Maimon ha-Sefaradi, the Rambam, giver of the essence of the law, Mishnah Torah, gentle in manner but fierce in intellect, endurance, sheer nerve. From Moses to Moses, there is no one like Moses. Cordoba, 1135, Safarad, where this life begins, amidst war and woe, caught between one interpretation and another. Allah, Allah. The Almohades insist on their version of the name of God who is beyond names, we say. They don't listen. In the name of Allah, the Almohades, burn down the corrupted Islamic mosques of those whose accents off. We don't even speak the same language, and the synagogues burn too on general principles. Jews must swear allegiance to Allah, must pay lip service and through the nose. It's not the names we fear, it's the sticks, the stones, the fire. Amidst flames, not of a burning bush, but of burning books, scorched scrolls, smoking letters, my wanderings begin. Pero ningún encarcelado se puede descarcelar. No one is a prisoner if he can escape. And so we left our homes, our wealth. Si los años cayeron, los dedos quedaron. If the rings fell off, at least the fingers stayed. We fled through Safarad from town to town to Al Maria, the Almohades hot on our heels. Cominos, macarones, alambicos, corazones. We ate macaroni and licked our hearts. When the Almohadan armies stormed Almeria's gates, we set sail for Africa, Morocco. Thus began my journey. Fez, Akko, the Holy Land, Alexandria, Cairo. My mind was troubled, and amid divinely ordained exiles, on journeys by land and tossed by tempests of the sea. Safarad was our Jerusalem, our jewel, a garden we had tended, transplanted trees and put down roots. We knew the bite of the olive and the fig, the land's strange fruits. We tried to live amidst the Christians, amidst the Muslims, to work through our tikkun, and now another wound, another temple burning. I think of those round Andalusian hills, the play of God's light off the green leaves after a cleansing rain, and watch the gray waves rise and fall, rise and fall, rise and fall. The horizon flat as unleavened bread. Quien no sabe de mar, no sabe de mal. He who knows nothing of the sea, knows nothing of suffering. Desire and my quest was to know God, so far as this is possible for a human being. I mastered first mathematics, then the natural sciences, especially to familiarize myself with their patterns and subtle perfections before I grappled with metaphysics. My brother David sailed around the Mediterranean, buying and selling to support my efforts. This was his way of worship and of love, and I studied, and I taught, and I wrote. My only master was Aristotle. Reading him encouraged me to live in the mind, showed me that thinking is godly, implying that even a master, an Aristotle, is not to be followed blindly. Blind dedication, blind faith, blind obedience leads to blind fanaticism, blind persecution, blind hatred. What's a mind for, I thought, if not to help us see? I wanted to read that so you could hear those traditional proverbs, which are Sephardic proverbs. This next piece is called Bamboo. It's for my son Jomo and for Danny Spell, who's out there somewhere. There he is. He'll remember this scene. Danny and I and Jomo went to a baseball game. Jomo was about 16, and after the game, we went to a bar, listened to the blues, got caught in a major rainstorm down under the overpass in Soulard. So here it goes. We sit on the curb under the highway overpass like three old winos watching the rain pour down, drinking beer, enjoying the cool breeze. Uncle Dan advising young Jomo on the craziness of the world, corrupt city politics, smoking and drinking. Don't wind up like me. The rain pounds down, floods and rushes through the gutters. Dan invites Jomo to go to the track with him the next day, describes the people there with their prodding, probing fingers, demanding cigarettes, money, contact. You should go once, and you should go with me. He tells Jomo about the value of friends, about the times he had no place but always had a friend's home to crash, how the only thing your dad has that I don't is you. And that's a lot. The words come out in a torrent, tells him how much he loves him, how if anything happened to him, how much it would hurt. Jomo listens, drinks it all in, the evening suddenly cooled, the ozonish blanket of thick heat finally blown away, the baseball game long over, the bars, blues, 2 a.m. gutter reveries in the wind, renewing, cleansing, driving rain. Memory seeds already stirring. The movement from childhood to adulthood before us in these moments, under the overpass, avuncular, toothless Danny, me as square pops, Jomo. I watch my son. I am without words. They are unnecessary. He is like a shoot of bamboo creaking in the forest.
Short poems. Short poems.
Okay, we're going to do a series of short poems. There's probably six or seven of them here. And we're just going to do them, so I hope you can feel when they begin and when they end, and if they don't worry. If you don't worry about it. Hopefully it'll all fit together somehow. Figures. 1 + 1 is sometimes 1. 1 + 1 is even 2. It's odd that 3 can be 1, 2. Thank you. 3 days of rain. The fallen leaves stick to the hills. Rain, rain, and after the rain, robins hopping, looking up for worms and down for other robins. Americana. His rifle cracking at Times Square Arcade. The hatless soldier. Dandelions. Blow their heads off. Everything's out front on your lawn. Dan D. Lion. You used to stand so straight, so bright and light, just like the sun. Now so soon you're stooped and pooped, all frail and gray. And gone to seed. Brown rice. I love making brown rice in the big old pot. It will nourish everybody. After all, it cost next to nothing to serve. Mystery. Morning mist on the mountain. Wind blowing over the lake. Birds singing the sun up. Me chanting mantras. JD playing. Whose breath is this? Cottonwood trees, wind, Thank you very much. Good night.